You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we're going to be talking about the All-Star game, the MLS All-Star game. Arsenal has defeated the MLS All-Stars. How disappointing. Also, NYCFC, a 5-goals, a hat-trick by Frankie Lampard, Orlando, New England, Kevin Molino. What is going on with Seattle Sounders? We're going to find out in the next segment.
In the second segment, you're absolutely right. We're going to talk about Seattle Sounders. In fact, we've got Matt Pence from the Seattle Times. He covers the Seattle Sounders. He's getting on the phone with us, and he's going to explain to us and let us know exactly what's happening. Sinky Schmidt got fired. Dempsey, did he have something to do with it? Ladero, he's out there like, hey, what type of grass is this? It tastes terrible. There's a lot of things happening. He's really surprised, but you're not in the third segment.
In the third segment, Cooligan's Corner, a bunch of great stories. Arsene Wenger getting harassed maybe on a bicycle, catcalled by people who want Riyad Mahrez. Castillo, is he going to Turkey? Is he staying in the U.S.? Is the U.S. losing to Bahrain? Why are they losing to Bahrain? And MLS wants your money if you want to be a part of it.
Big Guapstack, that and more on the Cooligans.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
What?
Yeah.
We got our own music, baby.
The Cooligans. After 52 episodes.
All right, we went a year without music.
And now we have music.
Listen to that beat drop. How dope is that? Thank you so much, Shaq Stanley, for that.
Shakir Stanley, comedian extraordinaire, rapper.
Producer. Wild and Out.
Just
you've seen him.
On everything. Shaq Stanley, he created that beat for the Cooligans. So thank him. Make sure, his Twitter, Shaq Stanley.
You should know that. We were talking about it. But thank
Shaq,
you so much.
It's Shaq, not Shaq. So Shaq with a
S-H-A-K, not S-H-A-K-A-Q. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a break. It's a tough one to remember.
Right. So he's not from Newark is what I'm saying.
So Shaq Stanley, thank you so much for doing that.
It was awesome. It's such a dope beat. And we finally got some music to play us on. And it's music that fits our demeanor perfectly. So thank you very much. It's a fun episode, man. We've got that. We got an interview.
We got
in
an interview.
Segment.
This year two of the Cooligans.
It's Cooligans 2.0 is what it is.
2.0. Yeah. We did some major revisions.
Yeah. A little renovation.
Major updates. Okay. We added, different gender emojis to this year.
Absolutely.
to this podcast.
They're taking away the gun and they're putting a spurt gun. Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
Yeah. That's all part of Cooligans 2.0. Instead of bang bang, it's more like squirt squirt.
Yeah, that's the upgrade people wanted.
Yeah, that's what they want. I wish we had show notes so that someone would have to put bang bang squirt squirt in it. But also, dope nickname.
Let's hire a stenographer to type squirt squirt.
We should have someone doing show notes. We really should. It's like the best way to get like found. But whatever.
That's too much work.
It's way too much work.
Thank you for listening. We are the Cooligans.
Yeah, we are.
My name is Christian Polanco,
and that is his name. And my name is Alexis Guerrero.
And we're your favorite comedians who host a soccer podcast.
Yeah, we're probably the only comedian. I know there's other people. There's one other person
I know that is
fuck
a comedian.
Who cares? Have you ever heard that thing? Boring. Oh, boy. Rant? I don't think so. Rant it usually means you're excited. That sounds like two people sharing a crumpet.
Yeah, but this is look, I'm
not us, baby.
I'm excited about this this year.
This is season two for the Cooligans. We have so much amazing stuff planned for you guys. Photos, videos, podcasts, everything. Speaking of photos, we got photos done. We posted one of them on our Instagram.
That's right. We got
I was told that we look like the Hispanic American Pickers instead of American Pickers. It's a reality show.
I never see it.
It's like a taller, skinny white guy and a shorter, chubby white guy with a beard. They're like in Iowa.
Okay.
We're the exact same thing, but like Hispanic. we're the Hispanic American
Pickers. You had posted that we look like the Latino Property Brothers.
Yeah. So reality shows are crushing it. references. They both fit perfectly.
We're taking ourselves more seriously.
And by the way, thank you, D Shoots.
Yeah.
At dshoots.com. DEESHO right? TS. That's D shots. Two O's. Yeah. DShoots.com.
Yeah. And it's definitely shoots. There's no gun emoji in the shoots.
No gun.
Yeah.
Just- yeah. Don't say the other one. I'll fight you. That is my wife.
Anyway,
photographer to the stars.
So thank you.
It's
for,
not bang bang. It's squirt squirt.
Thank you so much for listening. Just another great week of MLS. Look,
man,
Premier League is coming. What, in about 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's coming. I mean, they just played our All Stars. I mean, it's yeah, starting to come.
It's Premier League is squirting in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, oh boy. You gotta press at the top. Move your hands up. Anyway.
All right. We don't. Okay. I mean, some kid is going to appreciate.
Squirt, bang, bang.
Some kid is going to appreciate that information. Yeah. But yeah.
Please someone tweet at us with hashtag squirt, squirt, bang, bang. You could use the emojis. That only works on Instagram.
Well, use the emoji while you still have it because iOS 10 is coming.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Dude, you might have to write it out. Squirt, squirt, bang, bang.
Premier League will arrive very soon, and which it gives me a strange feeling because I feel like it's too soon. You know what? In comedy,
you ain't ready yet.
In comedy, we're always like, "Bro, too soon,
too soon."
You made that joke too soon.
Those kids just got shot.
School shooting just happened.
We both went to the same reference. That's how much happens.
It's
now.
A common, the too soons are very common, and also the gun violence.
Yeah, way too soon. way too common.
But it's what that this is too. This is like, do they even get a break?
Yeah, it's like they don't, especially with like Euros and Copa that just happened. It's like, guys, hit a little vacay,
This is
get in a hammock.
Even teachers get a longer break than
teachers.
This is absurd.
I mean, they're out there all summer just squirt, squirt, bang, bang.
How many?
I'm not going to stop saying it.
I'm trying
with the students. Why is everything happening in schools?
I'm trying to. You almost feel bad, like, cause like we get so much soccer, right?
Yeah.
There's no time of year ever that there is like where there's no soccer anywhere.
Yeah, no, not at all. There's always, especially with summer leagues like MLS.
Yeah,
there's literally. I mean, those guys that do MLS show, those I think they're Irish. I don't know, they're Irish or English. I think they're English that do the MLS show. Yeah. You know, that's that their big pitch to the Brits or to the people of the UK to watch MLS is, hey, there's no other soccer on in the summer. This is a great summer league.
Exactly.
And this was the summer of soccer. You not only had MLS, you had Copa, you had Euros. The Olympics are about to start. I mean, there's literally soccer left and right.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, I feel like I haven't had a long enough break of a Premier League. I remember last year was the first time I was very much watching the Premier League.
It was an emotional roller coaster for you.
Very exactly. And now I'm like, yo, that was just.
That shit was last week.
We were just talking about Leicester winning. Yeah. What is going on?
Yeah, but so much has happened. Has Everton bought anybody yet?
Oh, they who have they bought?
Supposedly Stones is getting sold.
Supposedly Lukaku. Stones.
Arsenal is still considering Lukaku, though. That seems to
Chelsea seems to be the highest. The people with the most interest.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the team that sold him?
Yes. And
they're
buying.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they sold him for like 20.
Well, speaking of that, Manchester United. I mean, they give away Pogba to free. They're spending $120 million.
We still don't know if that's confirmed.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
I don't. Who knows?
Pogba to Higuain. Higuain to Dybala. Dybala to Higuain. Higuain scores a goal.
Exactly. So happened since last week. Higuain is now a part of Juventus.
Yeah, and there's a pizza place in Naples where pizza. Originated that says that they will give away pizza for a pie for $1 a pie or a euro a pie as soon as Higuain gets injured at Juventus.
So we know where what kind of prayers they're making to their Jesus.
Absolutely. I mean, Naples don't play. Yeah, that's not a group of people I want to piss off.
Yeah, they do Naples. Not forget.
They don't joke.
So look, we have the next about 2-3 weeks to really MLS is strong.
Yeah.
You know, the state of MLS is good at the moment.
It is good. I don't know. I know the ratings aren't perfect, but an NYCFC match hit 500,000 viewers.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's building. You know, 500,000 viewers is pretty good. You know, there was a time not too long ago when NBC Sports first signed on to carry that, but that was a good rating.
Mm-hmm.
So. This is huge. And I know, like, you know, it's easy to compare it to NFL and whatnot, but MLS is making strides. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's the big names. I don't know if it's the bigger focus that's on soccer in this summer, because it seems like every time there's an international competition, the general public gets a slight more uptick in interest in the sport, you know. And I'm looking at, you know, we're sitting in our Copa Studios here.
That's right.
In our Copa Studios, which we were doing all of our Flama videos from. And I'm looking up and I see the Copa Centenario, and I can't help but think that all of these things are starting, the ICC, all these things, they're starting to really make a dent in the general public.
I agree. Last week we had the All-Star game, right? So that's obviously a big moment.
Big moment for us.
In MLS, you know, it's not the equivalent of like an NBA All-Star game.
How do you see it? Do you see it as a corny thing? Because I know soccer purists hate it.
I don't it's familiar to me as an American. Every sport does it,
right?
And they do it. I would say when it comes to taking the game seriously, it's second to baseball, right? Because baseball,
it has stakes,
yeah. Right? So the winner of the All-Star game, whatever,
right? It's East versus West,
or American and National League. Whoever wins gets home field advantage in the World Series. So that's huge. So obviously the game means something to every single player. And ever since that rule was put in place, you know, the scores, they used to be, you know, 12-7, and now the games are like 2-1, 4-2, like really.
Then pitchers are going out there and trying. Yeah
exactly.
Sure. Then you got the NFL that doesn't care about their Pro Bowl at all.
But pointless game. I mean, the NFL.
It's like annoying that they have to do it.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, a lot of the players hate it.
Somebody said, like, you know, if you go back to the 60s, if you go back to the 70s, like, it meant something to get a trip to Honolulu. You know, they weren't paid as much.
Exactly.
They were all, like, battered.
It was a real vacation.
Yeah, it was like a great little trip, and it was free, and you didn't have to pay for it. The league played for it. But now it's like, Honolulu. I can go to one of my four houses in Honolulu. You know what I mean? What
are
you?
Yeah, I'm on Star Island. I'm fine.
Honolulu? I'm in Dubai, player.
I'm in Ibiza.
I'm in the middle of a phone party. Why did I answer this phone call? I don't know who I'm inside or who's inside me. Ibiza.
But when, you know, when it comes to the MLS All-Star game, it is, comparatively, it does have a little bit more meaning. They play, there's a bit more style, and it's not like the NBA 140 to, you know.
Right, the NBA is a dunk contest.
Look, we know it's not, the game has no real meaning, but to those players, playing against Arsenal, playing against a big European club, a lot of times you want to play well because you want to play well, but also, some of these players, you know, they're not all designated players. Some of them want to make a good impression in front of Arsenal, because this is possibly their resume. They have one highlight against an Arsenal defender, and hey, you might be getting looks at from big clubs.
You know, a paycheck may be coming your way.
So it does have, the game has, even though it's not super clear, it doesn't have, it has some meaning to those players. And one thing, like, tweeting about the All-Star game, and you know, some of the complaints from some of the people who were tweeting at us were complaints about you know, the game itself wasn't the greatest,
right.
And I mentioned, like, well, it's an All-Star game, you're not gonna get the highest quality,
sure, and expecting people that have never played together or don't play together to all of a sudden be a fluid unit.
Exactly. Against Arsenal, who has been training for a month and a half
and has a definitive style that they've trained these people from since they were children.
Exactly.
Iwobi, Akpom, Theo came from Southampton, but you got Oxlade-Chamberlain. All these people came up in this system. They literally been playing the same style of soccer.
Yeah, and some people were tweeting us basically saying, like, you know, I had tweeted, like, right after the All-Star game, ESPN SportsCenter comes on. What happens after every big event? SportsCenter does a small...
End of the first game of the NBA Finals. As soon as you cut to ESPN, what's the first thing they talk about?
There's a short highlight, at least a little teaser about, like, hey...
We'll be talking about it in a minute.
The thing watched, let's just talk about it a little bit.
Because it's important. and that's the lead.
Exactly.
And that's what should be the lead, was this major sporting event that just happened.
And
so what you're about to say is... MLS All-Star cut to ESPN SportsCenter.
And they went with golf.
Golf.
They opened SportsCenter immediately after the All-Star game with golf.
Arsenal versus Kaká. Oh, he wasn't there, right?
Kaká was there.
Yeah, he was. That's right. He was there. Pirlo. Villa.
Drogba.
Drogba. Star. World renowned stars.
Ox is
People
there.
Have their faces tattooed on their body. And yeah. What does ESPN, who owns rights to soccer,
They paid to air that game. The brand should live on in some of the other shows because there's people who are watching and want to know more about it. Yeah. and want to feel like there's a little bit of attention being paid to them.
This is your money.
You paid for it.
It's like buying a car and then forgetting where you parked it. It makes no sense.
So that
or
was
driving it somewhere and then taking an Uber home. It makes no sense.
It's pretty frustrating because it
golf?
Golf. Of all things.
Golf.
Golf. Are you really saying that people who are tuning into SportsCenter, the first thing they want to hear about after watching an All-Star game with legit stars?
Right. Hey, tell me more about that sport that you have to whisper at when you're there. What is wrong with you, ESPN?
You know, and you know, I aired out that grievance, and then some people were saying, like, you know, the All-Star game was boring or embarrassing, that the quality of the play in the MLS was what made the All-Star game uninteresting. And it's like, no. You know, and yeah. I hate this. I'm starting to hate this, and I'm really becoming.
Get into it, dude. Have your Alexis moment right now.
I'm really
now.
Becoming, you know, an MLSist. Yeah, I guess.
You're becoming an MLS defender, an apologist, if you will.
An MLSist, right? I will defend. I'm going to defend MLS to the day I die because look, they're trying their best.
Yeah.
To grow this sport in a country that is denying it access to viewers, to the culture. You know,
we're pushing a boulder uphill.
Exactly. The culture itself is not really supportive of the game. So so for anybody who's like, oh, I'm tired of the poor quality of the MLS. Look, there's a reason Arsenal is coming to play here, and there's a reason that the league is growing, that the quality is growing,
and they only won 2-1.
Exactly. And do we have the development that of Europe or Germany and Spain?
Obviously not.
No, we don't. But we can't just live in this place of like, oh well. It's not as good as America's not number one.
It'll never be good, so no, screw
can't,
it.
Can't pay any attention to it. Got to constantly criticize this quality when, you know, because there's something better out there. Right. Just because something better exists does not mean that you cannot support the MLS or that you constantly have to dismiss its poor quality.
You can't dump your girl every time a girl with bigger boobs walks by. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Richard Mario, I got to stop doing that.
Right. And now I'm literally speaking directly to you. It's embarrassing. Stop walking so much. Don't ever go to the Midwest. A lot of milk. But what I'm saying is it's like I get so, I don't know if it's annoyed or it just feels so cliche when I have friends, I have dear friends that are, I would consider soccer experts, soccer-aholics, who only root for a European club or a South American club. And they refuse to even give MLS a chance. And it's like what you're doing is you're saying that there's only one brand of football that you're willing to like. You know, it's like for years people didn't care about the French league. And now that they're, you know, Zlatan, he just left. But now that PSG is buying everyone, people are like, oh, well, at least PSG's going. Is that all you want? Is that all you want are super clubs?
Yeah.
You know, what do the fans of the Scottish Premier League get into? You know, Celtic versus Rangers, which is coming back this season. These are all wonderful, great spirited games. You could watch anything. How could you support the men's national team and really the women's national team, sure, as well, but how could you support the national teams here and not support the domestic leagues? At least give it a chance. And ESPN, if you're paying to broadcast
millions of dollars
to broadcast a game, could you just mention it? Hey, you just watched the MLS All-Star game. We'll be talking about some highlights from the match, and there are a couple. Let's talk about golf. Was it hard to do that? I just did it. Was it hard to do that?
It seems like ESPN wants to immediately like make people forget what they just watched.
We're so sorry. We played soccer.
We apologize, everybody. Oh, man. Please do not turn off the
We hit the wrong button. We didn't mean that. We were going to show you another strongman contest or the CrossFit games.
Oh,
what is wrong with ESPN? Bristol.
Oh, man. So, you know.
We got to talk, Bristol.
These are like simple changes.
Bristol's my dog. Bristol. Get down from there, Bristol.
Yeah, we're near Park Slope. There's definitely a Bristol near.
Are you kidding me?
Within earshot. Yeah.
Aiden. Get down from there, Aiden.
But again, MLS, another great weekend. Look, Alexis could not go.
Oh, I was so sad.
To Yankee Stadium to see the few NYCFC matches that are left in this summer.
Oh, I don't know. Miss Frank Lampard's first hat trick, the first hat trick in club history.
NYCFC played against the Colorado Rapids. Tim Howard makes his return to Nueva York.
And I'm not a big wrestling fan, but I believe what happened was a heel turn. He became a fan not so favorite.
Persona non grata. Yeah, as they say. So look, Tim Howard, that was fascinating because look at most MLS matches, I assume this, but in Yankee Stadium for NYCFC matches, when the away roster is called and they show who the lineup is,
right.
And then the announcer Mark Fratto,
amazing.
Cheers to Mark Fratto, good guy. The stadium announcer for NYCFC, he calls out each name, and after he mentions every name of the away team, why do we yell?
Boo! And you suck.
Well, you suck, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know,
whatever. Yeah.
Azira sucks, yeah. And you Hooberg suck.
Yeah, sucks,
right?
As soon as they say the last name, you yell sucks.
Yeah, so that's a common thing. But what did they do? The
you're starting goalkeeper.
The New York fans, when Tim Howard's name was called.
So go ahead, use it. I'll say like the starting goalkeeper for the Colorado Rapids, number 9, I think it's number 9, Tim Howard.
Little claps.
That's it.
Little claps.
Respect.
That's what that is.
Yeah. And it was earned. It was earned in World Cups. It was earned in competitions. It was earned playing his ass off.
Exactly.
And local guy. He's a dude from Jersey.
And he earned that. And look, even though.
Couple toffees. You're an Everton fan.
Yep. And there was a bunch of Everton kids at Yankee Stadium. But that immediately changed.
And then all you have to do is mess with Tommy Turner, always wishing for a burner. Tommy McNamara
went for a ball. You know, he had a good opportunity. It was a 50-50 ball.
Yeah, it was a 50-50 ball.
And Howard went for it. And, you know, they had a small little collision. He flipped over the keeper, over Howard. And that's
not uncommon.
But after the tumble, Tommy looked. Look, Tommy has great hair.
Great.
Takes care of it. You know, he wears the Mark Sanchez headband.
He is conditioned to a T.
Always. He takes care of himself.
Are you kidding me?
So in the tumble, Tommy's headband flew off and it fell in the 6-yard box.
Right.
So I don't know why Tim Howard did this. And this is really a huge sign of disrespect. He picked up his headband and threw
it. Did he dust it off and hand it back to him?
No, threw it like to the seats. You know, he just basically just threw it a couple feet away.
How dare you?
Is that even necessary?
Mad like, disrespectful.
You in my house?
In his own house.
In Tommy's house.
Tommy's like, you just gonna mess with headbands? You could have said whatever you wanted about my wife and my mother.
Yeah.
But don't you dare touch my headbands.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Just like take a shit and don't flush, you know? Yeah. Like it's very disrespectful.
The Alexis move.
So he threw it. Obviously, Tommy wasn't very happy with it.
No.
They had a little
Bump. Score a screamer from 5 yards away from the box?
Tim Howard was very upset, but there was a little scuffle, a little pushing, a little shoving. But as soon as that happened, that's it.
The boos
the
rang
boos,
out.
The boos, they did not stop.
So them yelling sucked wasn't so much that it didn't happen as it was postponed.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
There was a burning sensation in all of our bellies. We were like, what is this? I can't. I don't know. Yeah, it was raining.
Through the rain, you could hear the boos.
Also, a rain delay. It was a very, very different type of game at Yankee Stadium. It was the first time.
When did the rain delay happen? Before it started or?
No, the rain delay happened about 30 minutes in, right after the first goal from Lampard.
Oh, and then they stopped, and then they played the other 15?
They stopped it. Yeah, they stopped it for about 20 minutes. And then I think they were worried about lightning. They didn't see any, you know, no lightning, so they just continued.
What did the fans do in that?
They hung out in the concourse under, you know, so they can get, you know, under covering and stuff like that. But great game. Frank Lampard. Hat trick.
Yeah, I watched a lot of it. I've never been booked to host a 5 o'clock show before.
That's right. Yeah. And that's why you were not there.
Yeah. And I said, sure. And I had a thing that ended at 3. So it was going to be tight for me to get there anyway. Mm-hmm. I figured, oh, whatever. I can get there late. You know, it's not a big deal. And then I realized I had a show that started at 5. There was just no way by the time I got there, I'd have to leave. So I unfortunately didn't get to give the ticket away, which I normally do if I can't go. But yeah, you know, I flip open my phone as the show started late anyway. And I looked down. And I'm like, wait, what happened already? How did this happen already?
Just constant bling.
Yeah. A lot of buzzing.
Yeah. It was cool to see. Cause look, Frank Lampard, there's been a lot of pressure on him, obviously, even from those same New York fans.
And I know we say we talk about more than NYCFC, but this is a league-wide issue right here. He was considered the worst signing in the league, and I had no argument with that. I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't like to think of it. I'm a big second chance person, so I'm like, you got to give it. And then all of a sudden, I know it's injuries, but you're just like, you just haven't been here, you know? Yeah. And all of a sudden, he comes back. I mean, he's scoring off of legs, off of his hips, he's scoring with every body part, you know. Kyrie, take note, Kyrie. And you know, now he scores the first hat trick in NYCFC history. So, you know, salute to you, man.
Yeah, it was a great display, and he and you know, we're used to Lampard, just we called him garbage goals, as he's been delivering. He's just the garbage man. We were calling him the garbage man last week. And he solid goal, solid shots. I mean,
great.
That second goal.
Beautiful.
Between two players. And
Jack Harrison with the assist.
Jack Harrison. But what was most impressive about that second goal was this is an old man.
Yeah.
What is he, 37?
Yeah. 30. I think he's 36.
36 or 37.
For soccer, that's like 92.
I forgot the name of the Rapids player, but he just totally outran him. The dude with the beard, Gashi, something like that. Kashi, the cereal. He's a cereal.
Yeah, Kashi. Kashi Golian. Kashi, go watch me score a goal.
So he just ran past him. Oh, yeah. Just like, and I'm like, why is he running? How is he running? Right? What, is he hitting turbo? Why is he? Because there's no way.
Someone holding R1 or whatever.
Even in FIFA, right? In FIFA 16, Lampard has a pretty high rating. He's not faster than everybody else.
He's not faster than anybody else besides maybe Pirlo.
and he really wanted to be a part of that play.
Yeah.
And he outran. The guy defending him.
Right.
And delivered a great ball past Howard. It just a
cutback curler,
totally unexpected. And obviously got the third on after the penalty that Harrison drew. Harrison just, oh my God,
amazing player. I mean, look, deserved to be number one. Amazing player. But what I'm talking about Lampard is you're starting to see, and this is what every team wants. So we saw a little bit about with it with Seattle, with Ladero coming in. You see flashes of what makes them great. Ladero a little different than Frank Lampard, who had, you know, storied history. You know, he's a legend, you know. But you see that. You see that with DPs when they come in. You want to see those flashes of brilliance. You want to see them all the time. But you've got some serious flashes of brilliance with NYCFC. And speaking of flashes of brilliance, if you want to come back to NYCFC, this fine, but dude, that Joao Plata goal.
That's right. RSL against the Philadelphia Union.
Wow. And I really like Philly. I love the way they play. Those guys like to keep the ball close to their feet. Then most of them can break somebody down. You got Barnetta, whatever his name is, absolutely incredible. RSL, just that Joao Plata goal.
RSL is definitely a team that is...
they're on the brink.
Yeah, they're on the brink, but they're always just like stable. They never really give like, you know, you never see them and like, oh, what the hell happened to them? It's just like, they always just maybe fall short.
There's not they have some high highs, obviously. They won the MLS Cup, but they don't have a lot of low lows, you know?
Yeah.
They seem to be pretty consistent, and they're probably one of the few teams that have a sort of an identity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're one of the few, like, I feel like Red Bulls had a different identity than they have now. Now they seem to be, this seems to be the identity that they're probably going to stick with, which is, you know, high press, fast,
Very fast passing, very fast team possession type soccer. Toronto changes it up a little bit. Montreal completely switched up once Drogba got there. You know, New England, always different depending on the players. All these other teams are always switching it up. Real Salt Lake, kind of, you know what they're going to do. Yeah, they're just really good
at it.
They're
the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes.
Of the MLS.
Small market.
Small market. Just
instead of a tall black guy who's from the Caribbean, you have a white guy with dreadlocks. It's kind of like, it's the same thing.
Yeah, they're just good. Consistency, which In a sport with so many players, you know,
so many changes.
So many changes. It's very difficult to do that. So, but that
salute to them.
That Plata goal was just there were a couple goals of the week that were just competitive and stuff like that.
For
but,
sure.
So you mentioned New England. Orlando played against
Jason Christ's first match
against New England Revolution. Yeah. They won 3-1. Jason Christ is back. Jason Christ has returned.
Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
And look, Orlando looked, I mean, very different. I mean, and I don't know if that has to do with like, look, there's been a drastic change.
Right. I agree with you. I think they were playing with confidence.
Yeah.
They seem to be happier. And you feel bad because they seem to be playing that way when Adrian Heath and them first came into the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of one of those managers that everyone loved. You know, everyone except, you know, the owners. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel bad for the way it played out and his son gets injured right afterwards, who's on the team. But, you know, kudos to Jason Christ for either saying the right things or just not making major changes. You know
what I
mean?
I know he had mentioned that the first change he was going to make was not play Breck Shea at left back, I believe. I think he wants to put him to play in the midfield.
Which is probably where he belongs.
Yeah, Breck Shea didn't start. But yeah, look, even if you make one or two minor changes, that can affect the team, you know, dramatically. So,
100%.
Laren had a great goal.
Laren is just one of those guys. You can see why Benfica wants to buy him. Yeah. I mean, nose for goal isn't fair. I mean, thank God the rest of the Canadian national team sucks because I'd be worried about them. This guy could square anywhere. Come on, come to the American side. Follow Sidney Leroux.
Yeah, that's right.
And well, come play for America.
It's too late now. But
no, it's not.
Just to give up his Canadian citizenship.
Yeah, why not?
Okay, you can renounce it, but I don't think FIFA will allow you to change teams.
No, that's what's happening to I think, what's his name? Ozzy Alonso. Cuban player.
Yeah.
Wants to play for the U.S. national team and they want him to play, but Cuba's holding up his documentation.
Oh, wow.
They won't release it. So come on, Obama, get on the phone with Raul Castro.
Yeah, I'm sure he has the most speed
right at the top of the list, by the way. It's probably like, oh, yeah, there's just one quick thing I forgot to mention. Guantanamo Bay will handle it.
But what I took from the Orlando New England game was definitely Kevin Molino. Kevin Molino looked looked great. He got the brace.
Right.
And he seemed to score both goals exactly the same way, cutting right in the middle and just cracking it with his right foot.
I mean, I think this is something that there should always be one or two players per club that are there to make, that are very direct and are there to make late runs.
Yeah.
And it frustrates me greatly when that doesn't happen. Again, I'm an Arsenal fan, so it doesn't always happen. But someone like Molino is smart enough to know. And you know what? With Arsenal, there's players like Ramsey who do it. You come in and you make a late run and, you know, guess what might happen? There might be a deflection. You might get a secondary pass. Defender's not following you. You're going to get a clear shot at goal. And Molino did that twice.
That's right. Yeah, he looked good. I'm actually extra proud because I started him on my fantasy team.
Oh, God damn it. So I'm dying in the woods.
So that felt good. But Molino is definitely like, an important player to Orlando.
For sure.
You know, he was there before they were in the MLS. And mm-hmm. he wasn't around for the first season due to injury. So this is exciting to see.
And it's exciting for him. It's exciting for the league too. You know, he's got another great player.
Orlando, obviously being the other expansion team last year, they have a lot to prove because look at the difference between, look at where Orlando is, where they were last year, and NYCFC is in
much
first.
Further ahead. They're in seventh place. And right now that's out of the playoff picture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's just out of the playoff picture. So, I mean, you know, good thing about the East is very tight. So anything can happen.
Yeah.
Speaking of the West, a little bit of Seattle Sounders
against the LA Galaxy, a 1-1 draw that should not have been a 1-1 draw.
I mean, you know, how wide do you guys want the goal? The biggest thing that you take away from this match, one, I know it's a big rivalry. It's not a derby, but it's a big rivalry. It's the LA Galaxy. They're in third place. You want to beat teams like that. I totally get it. But yeah, Ladero, we've been saying this forever. I've been saying this forever. Sometimes when you get a DP midseason, it doesn't work out well for half a season. It takes a while to learn the MLS. Ladero's like, no, I got it. No, I'm cool. It seems like the only thing he didn't know about.
He just read the cliff notes of MLS.
Yeah, no, trust me. Go ahead, give me the test. I got this. It's like, what are you, cheating? How are you doing this? You know?
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing, and he looked great out there, man. He was making some passes. But why don't we talk a little bit more about Seattle Sounders? Why don't we do this? Seattle, for those of you who listen in Seattle, we absolutely love you. We love the club. Why don't we do this? Why don't we come back, take a little break, and why don't we come back? We'll do an interview.
We'll do an interview. This is exciting because this is our first, I guess, sports writer interview.
Yeah, Cooligans 2.0.
Cooligans 2.0. I'm telling you guys, it's changing.
Everything's changing.
Yeah, the logo's changing.
I'm losing weight. Christian's gaining it. Oh, my God. Everything's going to happen.
Everything's getting more streamlined, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Efficiency here in the Cooligans camp.
We're doing open office podcasting now.
Right. We got a couple foosball tables. Listen, when we come back, we got Matt Pence. Seattle Times.
He's right for the Seattle Times. I can't. Who the hell is he talking to? Two dumb comedians.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel bad. You know, his editor's going to be like, wait, you did what? And you mentioned our newspaper?
You're getting demoted.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Back to mailroom. We don't even have a mailroom anymore. It's all email. Well, then just sit in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't we do this? Listen, this guy has the in on the Seattle Sounders. We have a bunch of questions. A lot has changed in Seattle.
Yeah.
One thing that hasn't is the fans are passionate. So we want to make sure that you guys get a little bit of conversation about your favorite club. We'll be right back after this break with a little conversation with Matty Pence.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Alexis Guerrero. So I'm one of the Cooligans, and I just want to talk to you guys real quick about On The Volley Apparel. Really cool clothing brand based out of Southern California. They're LA Galaxy fans, but do not hold it against them. Right now, I'm wearing the most comfortable hoodie, and I'm not making that up. The most comfortable pullover hoodie I've ever owned, and it's got the Wu-Tang logo on the front with a soccer pitch inside of it. If you go to our Instagram, you're going to see some of the photos of it. It's absolutely some of the coolest stuff I've ever had. I want you guys to go check them out on Instagram. At On The Volley Apparel, ONTHEVOLLEY Apparel is APPAREL. Check them out. Their website is VA Football Club, VAFootballClub.com. Check them out. Absolutely awesome clothing. Such cool style. Buy some of that stuff. Really support them because these guys are doing a great job producing some really, really awesome stuff. And we absolutely love all of their stuff. And I think you guys are really going to love it too. Again, check out that Wu-Tang. They even have that in a t-shirt. So I know it's starting to be summer. It's going to get nice and hot. Buy yourself a dope t-shirt. I wore it on stage the other day and people kept asking me where I got it. It's pretty dope. I think everyone's going to love it. I think you will too. Check them out on The Volley Apparel.
Yeah, we're back.
We are back, guys.
Second segment. We promised you a big surprise. We promised you a great interview, and I think we have an amazing one.
Yeah, I mean it is a surprise, but it's also like
something we've talked about.
Unless you probably read the podcast description, so it's not
true. That's a good point. All right, well you just took away all of the wind out of my sails and our guests.
No, I don't mean to do that. No.
Well, listen, we are fans of not just we're both season ticket holders to NYCFC, but. This next person, or our first guest here, this amazing writer, has a lot to say. Big fan as well of a specific team, which we don't always cover, but we have talked about. That is the Seattle Sounders. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause, unless you're driving, for Matt Pence. Matt Pence, welcome on the podcast.
Thank you for having me on and for that glowing intro. I'm gonna
absolutely
have to live up to the hype here after that.
Well, you did just say that we NYCFC is potentially a cup contender. I just read that article that you just put out.
That is how you get in our good graces. Absolutely. Sir.
And by the way, we scheduled this podcast before that article was out.
That's right.
Yeah, timing just coincidental. But yeah, that works out.
You know what it was? It was us emailing you, and you're like, you know what? We should write about something in New York, and here it is. Now, you work for the Seattle Times. You also cover the Seattle Sounders. Is this something that you were a fan of beforehand, or this is just one of those things where like you'd rather talk about the Mariners, but they force you to watch soccer?
No, for sure. I've always been a soccer guy. That's something that I really sort of focused on and sort of wanted to funnel my career in this direction. And that is obviously not an easy thing to do in this country, but it just kind of worked out that my first job out of college was covering high schools, this small rural Washington state town. So just kind of happened to be in the region when the job opened up, and the sports editor up here had sort of known that that's what I wanted to do. So it all kind of came together. So yeah, definitely a lot of papers, maybe the soccer beat is considered something that you work your way out of and sort of you want to be the Seahawks writer or whatever. But now for me, this has always been kind of a goal of mine.
It's also a pretty dope city to be a soccer writer in because you guys have some incredible fans. I mean, you know, those of us who watch soccer everywhere else are always amazed at what's going on over there.
Yeah, the level of interest is certainly significant, especially compared to some other cities around MLS. I mean, even with the Sounders in ninth place out of 10 and really struggling, I think they drew over 48,000 for the Galaxy game last weekend, full stadium game. So, so certainly having people actually care and read is very much a perk of my job.
And that's probably, we can get to our first question because that's been, we talked about it on the podcast. That basically the question, what the hell's going on with the Seattle Sounders? Why?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't been able to figure it out. Is Obafemi Martins that important?
Yeah, I think that what Oba did is he had really papered over some cracks that had developed over years. And I mean, it's really hard to sustain success in any league, and especially in MLS, where there's so much turnover and so many just sort of arcane roster rules and everything else. It's really hard to maintain success, especially if you don't do a major overhaul, right? So the Sounders have had the same core, the same sort of thoughts, and they've tinkered around the edges, but it's really been just kind of the same ideas over and over and over again. And eventually just that gets a little bit stale. I think you just can't help that. So Oba had sort of allowed them to maybe paper over that and carry it forward as a consistent contender for a couple of years, but take him away and you just kind of see the flaws. I mean, he did so much, not just himself, but his very presence made everybody else so much better. Just soaking up the attention,
yeah,
the defense, and creating for teammates and everything else. Without that, there's just been this void that the Sounders have not been able to fill.
Speaking of a void, something else that's sort of something that fell apart this year is your longstanding coach gone. Siggy Schmidt, supposedly not fired. I guess it was a mutual agreement.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they were. Even Ziggy, what I asked him, I got to talk to him Thursday, 2 days after the news came down, and asked him if it was truly mutual. And he gave sort of a very telling pause before agreeing that maybe it was the right time. So whatever the circumstance, whether you want to call it
a
firing or mutually parting ways.
Yeah, that's what happened.
It's certainly a significant move. And I think that they're still sort of even dealing with the aftershocks here.
That the same thing happened when, you know, when I broke up with a girlfriend and, you know, we both agreed that it was the best thing for both of us. Right.
Both agreed that her. Her letting you go was mutual.
Yeah.
We both agreed that she dumped me. So it's pretty cool how that worked out. Like if I'm Siggy Schmidt, I'm on a plane to China right now and I'm demanding the rest of my pay from Obafemi Martins and his massive new contract.
Well I guess Trump was right, right? Yeah, China is beating us. Yeah.
Taking our jobs. They're taking our Obas.
They're taking our Obas away from us.
Taking away good American hardworking jobs.
Yeah. That we bought. Guys that we bought. Let me ask you a question about just the team itself, because look, Dempsey seems to have sort of created some of the issues with Siggy Schmidt. We're not sure. I think you could tell us more. But also you just added an incredible player, Uruguayan, a lot like myself, and also from Boca, which is a great, I mean, obviously tactically, you know, always have good technicians on that club. And I think Ladero's no different. Tell us a little bit about what it's like getting Ladero when, I don't know, do you think you have a shot getting in the playoffs? Seems tight.
I think that the Sounders, it's probably too far out for the Sounders to make the playoffs at this point. I mean, they're going to have to average more than 2 points per game the rest of the year just to get the 48 points, which is sort of the traditional cutoff point. And even now, that might not be it. So I think that Lodero's addition, it's not a cure-all for sure. I mean, as we've sort of been talking about, there are some pretty deep systemic issues here that the Sounders are going to have to address both the rest of this year and the offseason. But I think that he will be a very intriguing piece to build around in the long run. I mean, you saw even his immediate impact on Sunday against the Galaxy. He's out there creating it. And he's was what impressed me most about him actually was just how much he hustled around. I mean, you sort of think of a playmaker, a traditional South American number 10, and you think sort of this very fair, just creative, just flair type of player. But he really worked hard. I mean, he hustled around. He caused a lot of problems. So I think that he will be a guy that they can really build around for the future. But I think the immediate future, I think the Sounders are probably a little bit too far out.
I wonder if he even knows there's a playoff system, because he didn't even know you guys played on turf.
I think that was taken. I don't know that he meant that in the way that it came across. I think that what he was saying, I think that he meant it in the context of I was surprised by how it played more than I was surprised that turf exists as a concept.
Matt.
At least casually aware that the Sounders didn't play on grass, but I think that he was slightly surprised by how much of an adjustment it was. For him to kind of get his bearings.
I'm going to give you a pass on that one. I'm going to let that slide. But we've been pretty vocal against turf pitch. You know, it's just, you never know which way. It's bouncy ball. You know, it's like playing with a Super Bowl.
Could it have just been like, lost in translation? Maybe, you know, he just...
Little Jack Nicholson action.
Yeah, you guys could just edit this out. It's entirely fine. Just edit that part out. It's going to be fine. And I don't want to pretend to be a proponent of soccer on artificial turf, because I have my own qualms and beefs with it. So I don't think that's it. I don't think that he was giving a thumbs up to the turf. But I also think that he was probably at least aware whenever he signed with the Sounders.
Thank God he didn't score, because if he would have tried a knee slide on that thing, he would have been like, what happened to all the skin on my knees? How did that?
Yeah, that would have been a welcome to MLS moment, I guess.
Now, we talked a little bit about Dempsey and Siggy Schmidt. I mean, supposedly the rumors, and of course everything gets blown up afterwards, but apparently they hadn't talked for a long time, and he would, if Dempsey had something to say to Siggy, it would go through someone else.
Wait, but I think this was one of the Kardashian episodes.
Right,
this
right. Is the and then Siggy and then Kendall went to Miami and they didn't tell Chloe and Dempsey.
You don't make that kind of mistake.
No, Chris is very upset. Siggy was the momager. I know way too much about the Kardashians now that you said that. But I mean, is there anything to this? It seems like Dempsey isn't happy, but you know, he never looks happy. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that was my thing. Like, I saw the headline and it was report Clint Dempsey unhappy in Seattle. I mean, has he ever been this smiley, content figure? he's always kind of a guy that's always pushing. He's always maybe a little bit disgruntled behind the scenes. That's part of what's made him such a good player. I do think that some of this is being slightly blown out of proportion, just because, I mean, this team is dealing with losing for the first time in what, 7+ seasons. Like, they've never had to go through this before. And it's MLS. You have these big, high priced players. There are a lot of locker room dynamics that are unique. So yes, there's obviously some kind of discord behind the scenes, but I don't think that it's at a level that's uncommon anywhere in the world. And in any sport, when a team starts to lose, those edges are going to fray. But I don't think that they're at a breaking point, or that Dempsey called for Ziggy's head or anything like that. So I think that some of that was slightly blown out of proportion. I think Clint's going to be here through his contract through the rest of next year. So I think that some of that was just the classic sort of sour grapes that come out of any time a coach leaves.
Well, it seems like NYCFC and Seattle just traded seasons, because
that's absolutely right.
just such a mirror of a season. But one question I did have was about Jordan Morris. Jordan Morris.
Oh boy.
You know, we talked a lot, but one of our episodes, Alexis kind of lost his mind.
I did a bit of a rant. Well, why don't we start there? Actually, I know you're a Seattle fan, and Jordan Morris is a Seattle guy, and I know his dad works for the club.
So it's just nepotism.
Right. A little bit of nepotism. But when word comes out that, you know, Werder Bremen wants to buy him, or sign him, I should say, and then you hear that he's thinking of staying home. Now, this is before he decides to come home. What are you thinking?
Whenever the report first came out that he was considering staying in Seattle?
Yeah, like, you know, right now it's sort of right when it's 50-50. He could go to Werder Bremen or come home to Seattle. What are you thinking?
It didn't surprise me, honestly, I've talked to Jordan, probably even going back to his right after his freshman year at Stanford.
Perfect.
There were already reports out that the Sounders were trying to sort of get him out. So that fall, whenever I first got the job, I had talked to Jordan. So I've talked to him off and on for 2+ years now, even leading up to all of this. So he's a homebody. He is. I mean, he's a guy that he really likes Seattle. And he has said from the beginning of this whole saga going all the way back multiple years that he thought that he would begin his career in Seattle. So I guess my stance throughout all of that drama and everything else was that I thought that he would start his career with the Sounders unless there was some opportunity that he absolutely couldn't pass up. And I don't know that that was Werder Bremen. So honestly, throughout that whole saga, his decision to stay and play with the Sounders did not come as a huge surprise to me.
Are you a United States men's national team fan?
I grew up watching them, obviously. Yeah, long time U.S. national.
That's a bold question. That's a bold question. That's like,
yeah, are you American? That's a McCarthyism all of a sudden.
Yeah, I thought
he was about American. To ask to show you, to show you your papers.
I apologize the way I asked it. But the reason I asked is, you know, take off your Seattle Sounders hat and put on your, you know, U.S. soccer fan hat. How do you feel hearing that? Because I felt that it was a bit of a cop out, because when I saw Jordan Morris play with the men's national team at first, when he was still at Stanford, I thought, what a great opportunity. And there's certainly some things that are amazing that he does, but you could tell that he needs some finishing. And I'm not one of these guys that thinks everyone needs to go to Europe. I'm not one of those guys, but you get a big opportunity. You obviously really impressed at this trial. Like, why would you decide to go to Seattle? You could always, and no disrespect to Seattle, you could always come home to Seattle. You know what I mean?
For sure. And I think what's been so interesting about Jordan's whole thing and throughout that whole saga is that he was very much a window into this is a whole debate, right? I mean, do we want our best players to go and test themselves abroad? What about Landon Donovan, somebody who was pretty open about the fact that he credited his comfortable surroundings with all of his success? So this really fed into this whole, it depends on how you feel about player development, and do players have to go abroad and test themselves to get better? Is there a value of being sort of in this little cocoon and taken care of and sort of not forced to get outside your comfort zone? So I think that on the one hand, I would have liked to have seen what happened had Jordan been sort of thrown into the deep end at Bremen and forced to make it work. And he still, people also forget that he's still 21 years old. I mean, there will be other opportunities if that's something that he wants to pursue. But again, because he's a guy that I know really did put a lot of importance on the value of home and starting his career somewhere where he was comfortable, I think that he made the decision that's probably right for him. And it probably just kind of set, you can probably line people up on the spectrum of how they view American soccer and everything else, depending on how they view Jordan Morris's choice.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a beef you just threw at me. That strong flame you just threw at me. But I mean, here's the thing. To me, it came across as him, and I'm saying this because I don't know him, and maybe you could correct me. I called him this word a lot. I said he's soft.
I don't think that he's soft, but I get sort of your implication for sure. Like, certainly, I think that there would have been value to Jordan being forced to make it work. And I can definitely get why you would view that as a cop out. I just think that in his specific circumstance, I think it made a lot of sense.
I think Alexis is trying to fight Jordan Morris.
I'm certainly not.
Yeah. Speaking of flames here.
Yeah. If I dress up like a gull, I know he'll miss me.
Come on. That is
disrespectful, isn't it? Even I felt that was too much.
But you know what? I have the opposing view of Alexis. I was very happy that he chose to go to Seattle to stay in the MLS, because I'm a big believer of growing the league. But while I'm watching him this season, there is a certain, I want him to do well, right? Because, you know, to me, the decision,
he's taking his talents to Seattle.
You know, there's a lot of pressure when the hometown kid, just like LeBron James, you know, he got drafted by Cleveland. There was a lot of pressure on him. So I want him to succeed. And
he's doing the opposite.
Well, it's just that there's opportunities that he's missing. And right. In reality, if he was in, Germany trying and excelling there, or even just trying to get better there, or even making some mistakes there, I guess they're not as public to the American audience.
Right.
So there's less criticism. There's a little bit more freedom to make some mistakes. But being that he is in Seattle, the Microsoft is on him, and he has to do well.
Did you say the Microsoft is on him?
The Microsoft, that too.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, literally the Microsoft is on him. I said soft, and look, there's still pressure. Obviously there's pressure. You could see it on his face every time he misses a goal. He wants to score. He wants to win in his hometown club. And I can't hate the guy for it, and I certainly don't. But, you know, the fact that he hasn't been included in the men's national team since that decision, or the decision, I mean, I think that speaks pretty loudly. No, Matt? I mean, would you agree, disagree?
For sure. I do think that Jurgen was certainly sending a message when he was not called up for Copa America and Chris Wondolowski, such popular acclaim, was called in instead, which everybody loved. But yeah, I definitely think that you're onto something in that, like, I don't necessarily think that the pressure is any less intense than it would be abroad in his specific circumstance, because as you sort of hinted at, like, there are a lot of stakeholders that really want to see Jordan Morris succeed, from the Sounders to MLS as a whole to US soccer. I mean, there are a lot of people that want him to sort of be that guy, be that leading light of this next generation. So I think that there are certainly a lot of people that are watching him very closely in a way that he might not have even gotten in Germany.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I wouldn't necessarily say it's more or less. It's definitely a different pressure. But, you know, like I've said this before, you know, when you watch some of these Euro matches, you know, like France losing to Portugal in the final, I'm like, this is in front of your family. This is in front of your wife, your kids. They can't shut the TV off. They're there. Your school teacher, your principal, they're all there. You're missing goals in front of these people. And if you're Jordan Morris, that's every day. And Seattle cares, right? I mean, Seattle's one of those cities where you walk around, people talk about the Sounders. No,
for sure. Like, he is definitely, I mean, you can see it on his face. That's one thing with Jordan, that there is no hiding how he's feeling. He's a very emotional, demonstrative player. You can see how badly he wants to score and how tightly wound he gets whenever he hasn't been scoring for a while. So there's certainly no running from the fact that this has weighed on him. But there's also the fact that, I mean, yes, he has missed, especially this last weekend's game, had a couple great chances to win the game for Seattle. Sort of had an open net that he missed, and then the one right at the end of the game that could have won the game. But if you look purely from a numbers perspective, he's had a pretty solid year. I mean, he's going to end up probably with double-digit goals, which, as a rookie adjusting to a new level of play, pure production-wise, it really hasn't been bad. But I think that that's something that's been lost. And again, especially here, there is a lot of pressure within Seattle and sort of surrounding the team. That people are saying, oh, maybe he's a little bit of a bust. He's been a disappointment. But I don't know. I think that for a rookie, he has performed about what you would expect.
Wow.
Take away the whole Jordan Morris American soccer savior, and he has been a rookie of the year candidate.
Vote for Matt Pence. That is world-class level politicking. You have spun a negative into a positive.
Well, I agree.
The facts are right. You're 100% right.
If we're comparing him to, you know, Oba last season, obviously that's not fair, right? And look, he's missing some opportunities, but the level of pressure and the expectation that we're all putting on him, he's, you know, realistically, he's probably not going to meet that. He needs some time to develop into, you know, that star.
There is an unfair amount of pressure that we've put on him.
I do also actually think that the Sounders have sort of let him down to a degree, because so much of their talk whenever they signed him was, we are not going to ask too much of Jordan. We're not going to turn him into this icon. I think that Garth Lagerwey, the general manager, said that he just did not want to turn Jordan into this symbol, this next Freddie Adu figure, but they've asked so much of him, with Dempsey sort of being out of the national team so often, with Nelson Valdez struggling without Obafemi Martins. They've basically been like, well, here you go, Jordan, score us goals, win us games, which is a lot. He's had to deal with a lot this year.
Yeah, that's a, like, how do you think the Ziggy Schmidt firing or departure will affect Jordan Morris, because there, you know, there is a, especially for a young player, you know, when like your, if your parents get divorced when you're young, you immediately blame yourself. You think, are you getting divorced because of me?
Right. Like, did I do it? And Siggy's like, you did. It is because of you. No, but he also grew up watching Siggy Schmidt. He was a fan of, you know, idolized might be too strong of a word, but the club he loved had him at the helm.
For sure. And I think there's probably a little bit of that. I think that there's a little bit of that with everyone in the locker room. I mean, you obviously look at the last game that Ziggy coached against Kansas City, and that's certainly, if that wasn't a team that was giving up on a coach, they were doing a very convincing impression of a team that was giving up on its coach. It was just a very just bad overall performance. So I don't think that anyone is really pointing that figure at Jordan. And in all honesty, I think that sort of the clean break could ultimately be good for everybody just in terms of a fresh start. I think that the team just needed that. The locker room needed that. Something needed to change. And you can argue whether it should have been somebody else. But I think that Jordan and everybody else will just sort of benefit from the fresh start and hitting the reset button, even if it doesn't necessarily pay off this year.
Okay. Well, so we want to wrap this up. So let's
one or two questions. One or two questions. So maybe like potential managers.
Yeah.
Like,
what's the
any
future?
Any names out there?
I haven't heard any names yet. It's still very, very early days.
Will it be Drew? You think Drew Carey's going to come out?
Spencer play out the rest of the year. I think that they're definitely planning on having him fill in. And really the only hint is someone who sees this. I think that the big overall thing is that they will hire someone who sees the game and sees sort of the development of a team in a similar way to Loggerway, because he's really being given the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. And he's talked about sort of finding someone that shares his vision. And he's a guy that he wants to encourage. He wants young players to play, and he wants to play in sort of a defined system. He's more of sort of a ideological mind. He wants a coach that really feels strongly about a very specific style of play, and that's willing to just sort of bring up through the youth and build from within. So I think that you can use that to narrow down the type of coach that they're going to try to hire. Somebody who's very wedded to a way of playing, somebody who has proven that he wants to, that has proven that he can sort of succeed and do it in that specific way. So I think that there's going to be pressure for sure, both within the organization and outside, to bring in sort of an established big name. But I think that those specific qualifications will sort of pare that down a little bit.
So I guess you're saying the next manager better see Adel at the Logger way? Wow.
Nice. Was, nice.
Yeah, you said nice when you don't mean it. Matt, and I respect you, Matt, so much for that.
Matt, I agree with you completely. That was totally unnecessary.
I guess I'm worse than Jordan all of a sudden. It's my fault. Fire me. I guess final question. Do you have one more question?
Well, I think you answered a couple of them, but just, you know, maybe some thoughts on what else Seattle can do to salvage their season.
Or like for next year, maybe like players, like any positions that you think are absolutely necessary.
For sure. I think that I think that Lodeiro is probably more of a long-term building block rather than a short-term fix, because I think that the Sounders desperately need another player that can play out on the wing and score goals. They just have not had enough production from the forward line, whether it be Morris to a degree, but also Dempsey and Valdez. Nelson Valdez has obviously not produced at a level that they would have wanted, but they just have no real true winger that can stretch the field and come in from out wide. I mean, obviously it sounds like Fabian Castillo is on his way to Turkey or whatever that saga has gone on. So who knows if he ultimately goes, but I think they need a player like Fabian Castillo that can create from out wide to give Lodeiro another target to sort of freshen up this attack. Cause I think that they are another significant piece away from really being the annual MLS Cup contender that they've been. So I think that going into the offseason, that should probably be their number one target, adding another wide player who can lighten some of the load on Morris, on Dempsey, on Lodeiro, so they don't necessarily need to be sort of the cure-all savior that all of them are kind of being asked right now.
Well, I guess Seattle probably regrets not trading up to try to get Jack Harrison, right?
Yeah. Or Kyrie Shelton. You guys want Kyrie Shelton? We'll give him to you on the cheap.
Yeah, that'd be a great get. Great get. Yeah.
Well, listen, you've been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for calling in, spending your time with us, with the fans. Is there anything you want our fans to do for you? Any blogs you write, or you want them to follow you on Twitter?
Well, I would say, first of all, you should all buy subscriptions to the Seattle Times. That would be my first ask. But if you're not going to do that, at least click on the stories, follow me on Twitter, I usually send out the stories that way, visit the website, poke around a little bit. Newspapers can obviously use all the help that you can get at this point.
Great. And for Matt Pence's Twitter, it's very simple. It's Matt Pence, MattPentz. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much for coming on, dude. I know you got another game to go ahead and follow and write about. You're very busy. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the segment. We'll be right back after this with a little bit of Cooligan's Corner.
Wenger, Oli Mahrez. Oli Mahrez. Okay? Oli Mahrez. Please.
Cooligan's Corner.
Cooligan's Corner.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to what you just heard.
Yeah.
Was some crazy fanatic.
You can't go anywhere if you're Arsene Wenger.
If you're Arsene Wenger, you're riding your bike.
He's just riding a bike. One of those like beach cruisers.
Just chilling.
Just looks like a little French boy.
Just like right like on Venice Beach. Yeah. Just, you know, just
experiencing the West Coast of the United States of America.
He's trying to have a good time. Yeah. And obviously, look, there's Arsenal fans across the globe.
Yeah, they're over the place. They say, we are everywhere.
I had heard Arsenal has the fifth largest following of any soccer club.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Which is wild. Yeah. I mean, we saw it at the All-Star game. It was just a sea of red shirts.
But red and white. Yeah. I thought it was a Bloods meeting going on in there.
Is that a little Wayne?
Yeah. What's Wayne doing there?
Is he leading this thing?
Everybody's wearing Rojo. So, he's riding his bike and he starts getting followed by someone with a pretty thick Mideastern or maybe North African accent. Starts getting followed him and he's begging for him to rebuy Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah.
And every Arsenal fan is like, yell more names. You
know? No, he literally says, like, buy Mahrez, only Mahrez, nobody but Mahrez.
Yeah, please buy Mahrez. And we're all like, also a striker.
I think that was Mahrez.
It's Bobby Mahrez. he's like, yo, he's like, Riyad owes me money. So you got to buy him.
You got to take care of him.
Well, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I agree. I mean, I don't necessarily know that we need Mahrez, but please buy a striker, please.
Desperately.
They said mid-August, so let's see.
Desperately need one. Also, thank you for listening to our interview with Matt Pence. Wow,
so great.
How great was that? That was, look at that. It's the Cooligans entering the door of legitimacy.
How about that?
Kind of crazy, huh?
The Cooligans just walking in and taking all your interviews.
Yo, run that interview, son.
Son.
Run that interview.
And what you got in that fridge, dog? Be taking it all. Make me a sandwich right now.
So that was cool. Thank you, Matt Pence.
Pence.
Matt Pence.
You say pants.
No, I said Pence.
Yeah.
I just say it like that.
Nah, yo, Matty Pants. That's a great nickname.
It's a great nickname.
Yo, Matt the Pant.
I'm sure people call them
Pants,
that.
Pants.
I
got broads in Seattle.
There was more MLS news. Fabian Castillo, two weeks ago, we were just talking about.
He was in the airport celebrating with the fans. Wearing the scarf.
Fabian Castillo has gone from doing an unbelievable Rabona.
Right. Curing leukemia
with his Rabona. A Rabona assist that was just absolutely gorgeous.
In the box.
And a direct shot at all those. Oh, but the MLS, the quality of the
quality the Europe.
How many Rabonas do you see in the Premier League? How many Rabonas did we see in the Premier League last season?
Yeah,
zero.
How many Rabona assists?
Yeah.
Come on, Stoke fans. How many Rabonas? Huh? So, Sheffield Wednesday fans?
So Fabian Castillo went from that Rabona to immediately the next week, transfer rumors.
Yeah. That's what happens when you Rabona.
Yeah, when you Rabona, people start talking. Yeah.
You got to move now. You embarrassed.
The streets is watching when you Rabona.
Bets being laid down, dog.
So the following week, there were transfer rumors. A few days after that, we found out Trabzonspor, Trap Lords.
The Trap Lords.
Trabzonspor.
Yeah, they should have looked it up.
That's right, Trabzonspor. So they were interested in him. There were a lot of rumors about that. And then we found out that Trabzonspor did purchase him, and he was on his way to Turkey. And then we saw footage of him arriving in Turkey.
The fans are going nuts.
Being mobbed by fans in Turkey. Mobbed or attacked or revolution. Who knows what was going on? But
there's
a
lot going on there. Maybe we shouldn't use the word mobbed. He was greeted.
He was greeted gleefully, warmly by the fans
of Trabzonspor.
And now we're hearing, so in the middle of the FC Dallas, their last match, at halftime,
he comes out of the center of the pitch.
Literally through like Beyonce coming out of the center of the field.
Formation.
So now we find out Taylor Twellman at halftime of the game mentioned that the deal is dead.
Yeah, the deal died.
And that Dallas now expects him back in Dallas.
But there was also a rumor that he stayed in Turkey, which apparently wasn't true, or maybe it just didn't work out, that he was going to stay in Turkey to finish the deal, get the deal done.
This is, I don't know what to think of this because, look,
people are rejecting everyone and staying in MLS. Jordan Morris did it. Dom Dwyer didn't want to go.
It begs the question of all this, all the speculation, why would could it have been like a physical that he did not pass? But you would think he wouldn't even go without.
Also, I feel like that would have come out.
Yeah. I mean, he was just Rabonuing 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I'm sure
who cares his physical? He just Rabonued.
You Rabona, that's it. You get a pass.
Come on.
Rabona
out of here.
We're still waiting for, I guess some answers because we don't know. There was a lot of sadness after he left, but you have to be supportive of that person as an individual for their own career. He was making $170,000 a year Dallas.
If he was making $250,000 in Turkey, that's a nice increase.
Exactly. So you hope for the best, but you're obviously sad to see a great player leave.
Right.
But now that he's coming back, it's very confusing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know.
We're not sure what's happening.
We're not sure what's happening.
No news has really explained why.
But, this is what I hope to happen. I hope, just like, Antonio Brown from the Pittsburgh Steelers is trying to, he's outperforming his contract.
Sure.
So he wants a new one. He has 2 years left on his deal, but he wants more money because obviously the sport is so risky. You should, if you outperform your contract, you should get paid more. Right. Fabian Castillo has outperformed $170,000 a year.
Yeah, that Rabona alone was worth $170,000.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, that is. Yeah, you stuffed that in his pockets on the way out.
Are you kidding me? You know what you deserve? How about double? Here's a couple stacks.
Put that in his bra and let him go home.
He should have walked out of a Toyota Park or wherever FC Dallas plays, just holding a stack of money up like a cell phone. Going, I can't hear you, player.
Just money Mayweathering.
French Montana.
Yeah. So look, I hope what I'm hoping is Dallas, gets him back and is like, look, we're going to give you $1 million, $2 million.
Yeah.
Because look, you're in it, man. He's too good.
Deserves it. He definitely
deserves it. So, this is a story you had mentioned to me. I don't know too much about it, but the USA, the under 20s, they played against Bahrain.
Right. They're led by Brad Friedel, American goalkeeper, originally Columbus Crew. Then he went to go play for in England, last played with the Spurs, with Tottenham Hotspuds. And let's just say that the under 20 team pulled out one of the most Spursy of all finishes. They were up 1-0 at the half. Bahrain, what number are they in the world? 7,000?
I know about Bahrain is Nate Bargatze's joke. You ever heard Nate Bargatze?
All I know about Bahrain is that's where Michael Jackson moved to when he kept getting caught up in all the sex stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope that's not the reason Nate went.
No. So, and also goes to show why all those boys play so hard. I'm under 20s, we gotta get it. Well, let me start off by saying this. No disrespect to anyone who's from Bahrain. Son, they're under 20s. They look like 40-year-old men. They had full beards. Americans couldn't even grow chin hair.
Yeah, it's like, how do you grow so much beard on your neck, man? You're 19.
Have you gotten the back of your neck buzzed ever?
These dudes were like wearing like gold rings and they had hair on their arms covering the watches. It was insane. They
were just thick, like 80s hairy. Beards. They were so 80s mustaches.
Yes. They were so hairy, these kids. They played the American under 20 again at the half, leading up by one. The announcer kept saying, well, they've obviously qualified for the Cotif. Like they kept saying they qualified until Yasmin scored a hat trick against them in the second half.
Oh, wow.
And it didn't stop there. First of all, pulled off the most Spursy of all results. Brad Friedel had no idea what he was doing. Didn't make any major changes when you can basically switch out your whole team. The Bahrain coach was like, more and more and more. I want more. They kept scoring. It was incredible. 3-1 was the final. But what happened was all of a sudden, there was a bit of the camera kind of pointed away. I wasn't sure what happened. But all of a sudden, there was a scuffle. They showed the replay. A Bahrainian player just kicked an American player in the head while he was down. Oh. Like straight kicked, like he was going to kick like a free kick.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was insane. So there was there were two red cards per team. So two red cards for the Americans, two red cards for the Bahrainians. And it was already an extra time, by the way. This was like the 92nd minute of extra time. Wow. So it was the second minute out of 5 minutes, and it ended up going probably about 7 minutes after that. I think five more minutes after that, I should say. So it ended up being about 7 minutes. I mean, insane. And
that seems crazy. I mean, it seems like a lot of resentment. I feel like America's done something bad to Bahrain.
What are the odds? What are the odds that we have it? I mean, Jesus.
So there's a lot of
just letting Michael Jackson move there was bad enough.
Yeah.
A whole generation has been lost.
And finally, Thriller. No. So there was a story out recently. I wish I could remember what it wasn't The Guardian, what publication.
We're talking about the MLS
feed? The MLS franchise.
That was Bloomberg.
Oh, that's right. So Bloomberg magazine or website or what?
Or just Bloomberg
Mayor
himself.
Bloomberg himself. I think he wrote it.
Yeah.
Mayor Bloomberg. MLS, there was a report that MLS, to join the MLS now, the price has gone up. So
$200 million.
So if you want to be a new MLS franchise, you better bring the guap.
Yo, you better be stacked out. Mayweather might be the only person who can afford it.
LAFC, I believe, was the last team to join,
which I think was 160, right?
Maybe less. I think it was like 130 or 120. It was. I don't want to say a reasonable number. I don't know what that's relative, but much less than 200. So something has happened in the last couple months where MLS is like, well, we got something you want, and if you want to be a part of it, you want to be a part of this growing sport, the sport of the future, you got to pay up.
Yeah, and I think this might cancel out your smaller, markets. You know, I don't know that St. Louis can come up. I'm not saying that there's no one in St. Louis who has that money. I'm just saying I don't know if any investors are going to want to do that.
Yeah, because now
St. Louis, Sacramento.
You make that investment, now you have to hope that you can recoup some of that money.
Yeah, sure.
And you obviously, who are you going to get it from? You're going to get it from the fans.
Yeah, if not, you got to start breaking some legs. And not to harp on this point too much, but I think it's a little embarrassing that they're charging $200 million for a club franchise fee. And you know, there's players on that team that are going to be making $60,000.
Yeah, is kind of insulting.
I mean, come on. You know, these are athletes. These are guys that could break their leg tomorrow and, I don't know, go back to finance because they all get pretty good college scholarships. So what am I talking about? This isn't Europe. But still, you know, they should be getting paid a little more than 60, 70, 170K for a guy like, Fabian Castillo is ridiculous.
Yeah. And well, I mean, just the fact that, look, the minimum a couple of years, it's only gone up, right? But the minimum, sometimes in the beginning of the MLS.
Well, you got to wait for CBAs, though. I mean, finance fees, the franchise fees just go up whenever they willy-nilly.
Exactly. So, look, now we know they're going to be making more money.
Yeah.
And obviously, they have to wait until the next collective bargaining agreement. But, it doesn't feel, if I was a player, obviously hearing this doesn't make me feel that great.
No, not at all.
Because,
this should be fuel for the next CBA.
I can't buy my kid new sneakers because my mortgage. You know, it's like these are practical financial decisions.
Yeah.
Even though these players are on TV and all this stuff, they're not really making the most money.
Yeah, no, it's not a lot of, there's not a lot of sponsorship opportunities. It's tough. It's really tough.
It is kind of an odd thing. Just picturing an MLS player playing in front of thousands and then being at home arguing with their wife like, honey, you went over the data plan again. Yeah, like,
come on. Stop wasting so much gas in my 1993 Toyota Corolla.
It's a bummer because you hear a professional athlete, and we immediately start thinking about the millionaires. And with MLS, that's clearly not the case. And again,
that's like six people.
Look, all the people that are like the quality of MLS, whatever. Mm. This is even more reason why you should be supporting the MLS. Look, 100%. These players are your neighbors.
Yeah.
You know, these are not millionaires.
No, we live in New York. These players can't afford to be your neighbors.
They appreciate the sport. You're not supporting just like some random millionaire guy that's entitled to stuff. These are like these are real people when you buy a ticket to an MLS game, you're like legitimately helping somebody's future.
You might as well get a tax write-off because it's kind of a donation.
So look, we're happy with the MLS, and we're in a good mood. We're happy with the next year of the Cooligan. This is a great start. A great start to year number 2.
Yeah, and I'll put it back on the fans. You guys email us, and we don't get to read all of them, but email us soccercooligans@gmail.com. Let us know what else you want to see. Is there something that we're not doing that you want to see us do? You want to see us say? You want to see us put on video? Let us know, man. We'd love to.
Yeah, we've gotten some pretty awesome emails that I really, really appreciate. And I wanted to read one. Before we go, also we mentioned this before, but we have stickers still.
Yeah,
if you email us and just say, "Hey, I want a sticker," and just tell us where to send it, and I will send that.
Yeah, we gotta send some out to Matt. Yeah, Matt Pants.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that.
Matty Pants,
and a couple of people have asked me for stickers, and I will be sending those soon. There's maybe just a few that I haven't sent, but the majority. If you're listening to this and you asked for stickers and didn't receive it, please tell me.
If you are listening to this and you receive them, you know, post a picture of it, tag us in it. We want to see it wherever you leave it. You know, somebody put one up on a subway ad here in New York City. I took a photo of it.
Oh, nice.
That's really cool. Yeah. So if you guys put it up somewhere, you know, take a picture of it, tag us.
Yeah, we got from someone who appreciates the podcast. It's always just nice to hear from Wayne Powell, who's a Timber supporter, who heard you on the Skeptic
Ari Shaffir's, that's
right. Skeptic Tank podcast. He heard it. He sent an email. Wayne, he said, guys, love the podcast. I'm a Timber supporter that only listens to Timbers related podcasts because I haven't found an MLS podcast that I can stand even listening to.
Wow.
I found you guys, thanks to the Skeptic Tank pizza episode, of course.
If I'm involved, it automatically becomes a pizza episode.
And after one episode of the Cooligans, you got yourself a subscriber. You guys are hilarious, and I enjoy your analysis. Keep it up.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Look,
that's literally what we wanted to hear. We agree with that first sentiment. The reason, you know, they say you be the change you want to see in this world. And, you know, Christian and I talked about it. There wasn't a lot happening in this scene, and we wanted to make it funny for you guys. And hopefully we're doing that.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Thank you, Wayne. Send us more emails like that, please. And also, if you want stickers, go for it. Just email soccercooligans@gmail.com and we'll send it right over.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, just, you know, tweet at us, whatever. Like, let us know you want stickers. We'll find a way to get you stickers. Let's do this.
So, guys, thank you for listening. This is the beginning of year number 2.
That's right. Cooligans 2.0.
My name is Christian Polanco.
And my name is Squirt Squirt Bang Bang.
I was like, we're going to get out of it without him saying it again. But no.
Here we go, baby. Forever. You're listening to the
Cooligans!